God's attributes were manifested.
Your wife is the bone of your bone. Do not break her. Your wife is a gift. Appreciate her. Your wife is a rare gem. Guide her jealously. Your wife is not a fool. Listen to her advice. Your wife is not malicious. Do not keep malice with her. Your wife is the best friend you can have. Befriend her. Your wife is not a napping. Do not misuse her. And the men will say, and one very good analogy. Here he says, any man that can handle his phone, your cell phone, very well, can handle his wife best. Number one, comparing your wife, the handle of your wife with the handle of your phone. You are always scared to stay away from your phone just for a day. Let your wife also see that you don't want to stay away from her, even if it's for a day. You hate to see your phone stay without airtime, without money. You should also hate to see your wife stay without money. Because you're always recharging your phone with money. Three, because you are so used to your phone, you sometimes prefer it to a new one. No matter how sophisticated is the new. Value your wife above any woman out there. No matter how good looking that woman out there is. Number four. You are always happy when your phone battery is full and strong. And even when it is running down, you don't hesitate to charge it. Your wife sometimes becomes physically weak by ensuring everything goes well in the house. Keep her strong emotionally by your kind words and assist with the house chores where necessary. By doing this, you will make her full of energy to face what lies ahead. Number five, you feel terrible whenever your phone slips from your hand to the ground. Feel same whenever anything hurts your wife. Whenever you are using your phone to make a serious call, you always want to stay away from distractions. Treat your wife the same way when discussing serious issues. Your phone contains so much inside. Your contacts, codes, memory pictures, etc. Hence the value you place on it. Your wife has some treasures hidden in her. Please value her. Sometimes when the outer casing of your phone fades, you feel embarrassed to hold it in public. Always ensure your wife looks good wherever she goes. Remember, she is said to be the glory of the man. Whenever your phone has a problem, you become unavailable to your callers. Let your wife's problems make you unavailable to anything needing your attention until she is all right. You feel uncomfortable when your phone mouthpiece is having a problem. Let it also disturb you when your wife couldn't get what you are saying. Then look for a better way to fix it until she can clearly understand what you are saying. The same applies to your earpiece. Make sure you always remove anything that will block your ears from hearing and listening to her. And finally, like you use your phone to browse the internet, interact with friends from different social networks, let your wife also become a platform for your social interaction with family and friends. Also, there are so many resources in your wife that you never knew of. Just be humble enough and browse through. You'll be surprised that your wife knows so much. It's just like your phone. How you didn't know everything that it can do. That is your wife. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you fail in these assignments, then you are heading for divorce. Praise the Lord. So let's move forward. Can a Christian divorce and remarry? In the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 He says that God hates putting away. God, he said, yet you say, whereof, because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. The next verse. He said, and did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the spirit, and whereof one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take it to your spirit, and let not deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away. For one covering violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts, therefore, take it to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. God hated putting away. And please, church, putting away is the beginning of divorce. Putting away. How do you know that you're putting away your wife or putting away each other when you cannot communicate again? When you cannot sit down and discuss as you used to be before? No agreement. Keeping malice. Frowning faces. Good morning. See the response of one who is putting away his wife. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Good morning, honey. Morning. Will you eat? No. Are you going out? Yes. When are you coming back? I don't know. Where are you going? Out. Wahala don't come. That is the putting away. Oh. Putting away starts from the heart so that you'll understand this scripture. Matthew chapter 5 verse 27. So that you'll understand this scripture. Matthew chapter 5 verse 27. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. The next verse. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Because it starts from your heart before physically it manifests. That's why it is called seducing spirits. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart. Remember the mystery. Marriage is a mystery between Christ and his church. So, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What is a seducing spirit? Seducing spirit is taking your heart away from where it should be. Your heart should be with your wife. Your heart should be with your husband. When there is anything is working to take your heart away, it is seducing you. That is going to make you put away. You are going to put away from your heart your husband, your wife. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. This is the way he put it. Because it's always from the heart. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. That is the seducing spirit. That is how it operates. You begin to see her now more beautiful than your wife, more sexy than your wife, more caring than your wife. It starts with the eye. There is the adulterous eye. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. It speaks about eyes full of adultery. It says, having eyes full of adultery. So there are eyes that are adulterous eyes. In Acts chapter 20, if you read it from verse 27 to verse 30, it speaks about men, some that will come and draw away disciples after them. They are drawing away disciples, drawing them away from Christ. Instead of following Christ, they will be following them. It's a seducing spirit. Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, if you read it from verse 6 to 9, speaks about how that they have been removed from Christ unto another gospel. Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. So that where your heart should be is already somewhere. That is, God hates it. You are putting away your love, your wife, your husband. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you read it from verse 2. It says, as serpent beguiled Eve, took her heart away from her husband Adam and messed her up. This is what eventually leads to complete divorce. It starts from the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, that's why he said, guide your heart with all diligence. Because you start putting her away from your heart. When you begin no longer to have her in a right place, because even the Bible says, you cannot serve God and mammon. No. No, 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 no. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, but can there be a divorce? Is there any ground at all for divorce? Listen. Amen. While we say, in the beginning, there was no provision. Nothing was envisaged. The law, the creation of man and wife, did not envisage divorce. But as man progressed, we begin to see some reasons why there can be divorce. Number one ground for divorce. Amen. It's marriage in deceit. I'm going to explain it. Because you are going to ask me, where is it in the Bible? You are going to ask me, where is it in the Bible? Why are you adding? I'm not adding. Listen to me very well. Amen. Look, there is also the spirit of wisdom in the church. What is leadership? What is counseling? Counseling is not for me to come and take a book and read for you. Take the Bible and read for you. Am I counseling you when I'm reading the Bible for you? You can as well read it at home. That's why there is discernment of spirit and there is the word of wisdom. Amen. And because God is still speaking to us to give us direction, he puts the word of knowledge as a gift. Amen. Two adults, when they meet, you are supposed to, I believe in courtship, a period where you get to study each other long enough to convince each other that, yes, you can live together as husband and wife. During this period, there are things that are mandatory. You must open up and tell each other, inform each other, confess it to one another. Things that will help the person make a decision. Things that will help the woman or the man to make a decision. Take for instance, you had a former relationship. You were married before. And you ran away from your husband. And as a Christian, we know that once you are married and you are put away and you go and you marry another man, you are living in adultery. The Bible says so. Now, you didn't tell him. He thought he was taking chassis. He thought he was taking Tianalon, Nahim Tiaram. Then get home, finish. After some time, discover that you were married before. You deceived him to believe that you were never married before. That marriage is null and void. Because as far as heaven is concerned, you were never married at all. Ab initio. It was based on falsehood. It cannot stand. Therefore, you can tell him or her, get away. There are things that you should know. You had a child before, out of wedlock. When you were young, something happened, one thing led to the other. You born one child. Before you know, again, second one, come enter. Before you know again, third one, self, come enter. And they're all in the village. Then you came to Lagos. Because your body no show like person who get picking himself before. And you are all in the church, very holy brother and holy sister. You are prophesying yourself in the church. You are the singer. Every time you carry me for your hand, others carry their God. And you are worshiping. And then you didn't tell him. You are supposed to tell him. You are supposed to tell him. So him to consider, he may not want to marry a woman that has had a child before. You didn't tell him because you want to marry him. If you do that, and he discovers after the marriage, no matter how long, he can put you away. I say, he can put you away. You have to confess your health challenge. Brother, you are impotent. Brother, you cannot father any child. Sister, for one complication, your womb is removed. You can't have a child. And you didn't confess it. If after marriage, it discovers that you hid that from him or you hid that from her, that marriage was on falsehood. It can be broken. He can also decide. He came in there to pretend to be a Christian. Then after the marriage, then he's telling you, I know serve this Jesus again. Oh. Me, originally, oh, I'm Guru Maharaj. Originally, oh, so I'm going back. Oh. And some of them are even bold. One told a sister that got married in this church that I married you because I thought you have money. He said, let me tell you, I don't love you. When he discovered that he didn't see the money he thought the sister had, he told me personally, it's not whether I had it. I had to call him to confirm what the woman was telling me. And I had to ask him, do you know the implication of what you are saying at all? Do you know you are a devil? In my office, I told him, do you know you are a devil? Because of money. He said he didn't want to marry her. And drove the poor girl away. And of course, we drove him out of the church. About two different cases like that we have seen in Pride Assembly. So somebody will now go and say, especially some enter-message preachers, well, it's your cross. You have to carry it. It was not a cross given to him. Oh, that's not cross. Praise the Lord. That is not the type of cross Christ promised us. Oh. That's the devil that came to destroy a seed of God. Praise the Lord. And please, listen very well. Bad character is not among marriage in deceit. Hey, she's bad. She's, if you see her, she doesn't know how to attend to people. She's very rude. She insults me. She does this one. Now the work where you get to be that. That is the job you have, to change her character. You cannot drive any woman away because of bad character. You have to define what is character. You bring it before the elders of the church to redefine that character. Oh, that bad character is not among. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. He said, and unto the married I command, yet not I, this is a commandment of the Lord, but the Lord. Hear ye, this is thus said the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. Why do I quote this scripture? Praise the Lord. For bad character, you quarrel and she back and goes out. It's not divorce. It's two fighting. It is separation. Separation is different from divorce. You will remain together. Oh, you remain. He said, you must remain single. You that ran away, you must remain single. In Europe, it is the Europe and America, Western world. When we Africans go there, the whole thing turned upside down. I was talking about payment of dowry in a program I attended some time ago in Germany. And a Nigerian woman who was married to an Indian came to me for counseling after the program. And she said, Daddy, I hear you. You keep saying payment of dowry, payment of dowry. He said that in India, it is the woman that pays the dowry for the man. So what is she to do? I said, your case is serious. The truth is, I didn't have any answer to give her. So it is the woman that is marrying the man. It's a very, very interesting culture. Well, at the end, when I came back to Nigeria, after a lot of thinking and consideration, I had to call her to tell her, well, where you went to marry, what constitutes marriage there must be done before your marriage is legal. So if you are the one to pay, you better go and pay. That is where you have married. Praise God. But at the same time too, if that man is a proper man, like I said, he's the one coming to marry you and he's going to pick you from somewhere to India. He's not marrying an Indian. So he does not expect you, therefore, to pay according to the Indian tradition. You are the, he is the one marrying you. So you should do everything to drag him to your village in Edo to come and pay the bride price. Tell him the implication of keeping you there without paying a bride price. And his people will not accept you after he has paid your own. Then you can go and do his own to appease them so that you enjoy your marriage. Praise the Lord. So when you quarrel and you leave, like I was saying, you remain single. If you go and remarry, you'll be guilty of adultery. Number two, the ground for divorce. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. If the unbelieving depart. He says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. That scripture is very important. So, what is he saying here? You married as unbelievers, and one of you comes to Christ. And the other one, the husband or the wife, decides that because you have given your life to Christ, I am ending this marriage, and decides to go. He said, the person is free to go. You are not under bondage in this case. That is, you are free to remarry. And it will not be adultery. Number three, if death do you part, you can remarry. You can't be married to a dead man now. Romans chapter 7, verse 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 7. It said, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. And verse 3, so then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. In verse 39 of that same 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he repeated there, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. Whether he ran away from you and is living in Sokoto while you are living in Ijebu-Ode, as long as he is alive. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. But this time now, only in the Lord. You marry a Christian. The fourth one is Matthew 19 verse 9. The ground for divorce and remarry. Because if you divorce, then you remarry now. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So the only ground that you can put away is if you catch her in fornication. Let me again explain the difference between fornication and adultery. Look at that verse again. Verse 9 again. Matthew 19. The two words are used in this verse. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. So we see fornication, adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. And some of my very learned colleagues in the entire message circle, they want to disagree with me on this. But look at it very well. There are many things you enter message preachers, you disagree with me. The truth about it is that you are disagreeing because you are not listening to me. Listen to me very well and follow what I'm saying and look at the scriptures and see my understanding, my explanation. If you are humble enough, you can't fault it. Including the placement of the minister of William Branham. Including the placement of William Seymour. Including the issue of a television. Including that I said that the rapture takes place in the third seal. Listen to me very well. And that the fourth seal is for Israel. And that the symbol of our faith is not the flying eagle. And that Revelation 10:7 is primarily for Israel. And that sounding of that Revelation 10:7 is the sounding of that seventh trumpet angel in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Listen very well. Listen carefully. And then hair covering. For a woman to cover her hair during fellowship. When praying or prophesying. Listen very well. Listen carefully. You will see that I'm saying something. But because I am not a big name speaking from America, or because you think you started your ministry before me, Oh, because you think that you were my pastor. I was an ordinary member in the church before. Praise God. Hallelujah. You better listen to what I am saying, because the things that I say unto you, they are by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because even me myself, I have to come back and be correcting myself. Praise the Lord. Listen, there is a difference between fornication and adultery. Let me explain it. Listen carefully. Fornication is any sexual union act between people that are not married. Even if you have four wives, not only one wife itself, and you go and sleep with a woman that you didn't marry, you are fornicating. A fornicator. Praise the Lord. So fornication is sleeping with a man or a woman that is not lawfully married to you. But adultery, praise the Lord. Listen very well, and I will prove it. Adultery is leaving your spouse to marry another while he or she is still living. It is only adultery if you are married together while your original wife or husband is alive. So now, with that knowledge, can you catch it now in these three or four scriptures I will give you now? Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and verse 32. See what is written there. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. 32. But I, Jesus Christ, say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of a fornication. That is, you caught your wife sleeping outside with another man. Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, see it, caused her to commit adultery. How will he cause her to commit adultery? By putting her away. It is because of the next statement. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. Because by putting her away, you are going to make her to marry another man. And that is what makes it adultery. In Mark chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 12. Mark chapter 10. It makes it clearer here now. He says, and he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committed adultery against that woman you have put away. Verse 11 again. Read it carefully. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another. That is the emphasis. Committed adultery against her. Against her. That is adultery against her. It has to be that you are marrying her. You are living with her. Now see verse 12. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another. See the emphasis? She committed adultery. It's not living. The man sneaking in the night and going to another man and sleep with her. Then he says she has committed adultery. No, it is leaving your husband and going to marry another man. Leaving your wife and going to marry another woman. That's why he said, let the man not put away his wife. Let the woman not put away her husband. And if you put away at all, he said, you remain unmarried, remain single, or be reconciled to your husband. Praise the Lord. And God hates fornication. That's why he said, for fornication, you can put her away. Why? What is the reason? Number one, fornication makes you to share affection with that person. The affection that you should have with your wife, you are sharing it between two women, or you are sharing it between two men. No. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot share the love that you have with your wife with another woman. Why does God hate fornication? The effect of fornication is that fornication produces unwanted children. You give birth to children that don't even know their father. And it is traumatic to such children that they grow up and they are stigmatized. Where is your father? They are called bastards. That's the word. You give them that stigma for the sin that you have committed. It's wrong. So we have fatherless children everywhere. It is wrong. Another effect of fornication is that it will lead to abortion. And that itself is murder. It is another sin. Because fornication is not intended for children. And yet, that is the purpose of sex. You're having it for pleasure. And another effect of fornication is that you risk sexually transmitted diseases. And not only diseases you transmit, you also transmit spiritual problems. You bring to that family curses. Demons follow you. Some men are possessed. When they join with you, you become one. You carry their problem and go and join with your family. That's why in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, it says, as a bird wandered, as a swallow by flying, so a curse, curseless, shall not come. If you had remained where you are, that sexually transmitted disease will not come. There are some women that are suffering from some infections that it is the husband that went and carried it from where you go, carry, come and suffer that woman for nothing. That's why married couples, STDs, the two of you will be taking the injection together. We'll be taking the antibiotics together, taking the treatments together. Praise the Lord. That's why Proverbs chapter 5, verse 20 says so. And why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? He's talking about fornicators. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondered all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holding with the cause of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Proverbs chapter 6, the next chapter, verse 32 up to verse 35. See the admonishment of wisdom here. It says, but whoso committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyed his own soul. Now, the usage of the word adultery here is actually fornication. The context here. When you do that, he said, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. The day, the man will catch you sleeping with his wife. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. He will finish you, and if he kill you because he catch you on top of his wife, they don't call it murder-in-law. In Nigeria, it is called manslaughter. Praise God. And finally, praise God, the effect of fornication. It creates a jealousy. Jealousy spirit. So there will be no peace at home. Now, there's something God told the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 5. Numbers chapter 5 from verse 11. Now, Now listen very well from verse 11. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. Now, and the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water, and the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hand, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. Now, you can read that on up to the end there, verse 31, but what I want to bring out from that ordinance is a very interesting thing for us all to note, all of us that are married. When one of you becomes unfaithful to the other, he has not caught you. He has not seen you with any man, no. But all of a sudden, to expose that something is going wrong, a spirit of jealousy will come upon the man. It might also come upon the woman, it come upon the man. This ordinance was upon the man. And the man begins to get jealous of the woman. There is a provision. The woman naturally will deny it. They will go and take this water and swear, if it ever happened, let my stomach swell up and I die. And it will happen. So what I'm bringing out here is that sometimes you just see a man just unnecessarily getting jealous. It may be that the woman has defiled herself, has broken the marriage vow. So the effect of it all is that you will not have peace in that marriage again. All of a sudden, no more peace. No more peace until it is confessed. That is what fornication does to married people. Praise the Lord. I must add this at this point. Putting away, amen. There is also an effect that I forgot to mention. When you say you have this action of putting away, you don't, you know, relate with your wife anymore. No peace in the house anymore. Nothing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says that your prayers will be hindered. There's a way he put it, 1 Peter. He said, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. You are heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That is, when you are married, God does not see you as an individual anymore when you want to approach him. I'm talking of Christian relationship. So, if because you have quarreled, that is why you cannot come together anymore to pray, you are wasting your time when you kneel down there to pray. Your prayer will never be accepted. That is why it's important that you remain united physically and spiritually. Praise the Lord. And when Satan wants to make your house its address and strike. That's the first thing he does. Praise the Lord. There is headship. Because he said, have you not read? There is headship in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It makes it clearly that the man is the head of the woman. The woman lost equality with the man in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Can we read it? Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and this is where it comes now, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So from then till now, the head of the woman remains the man. Whether the woman is richer than him, is taller than him, is fatter than him, is bigger than him in any way, the man that you are married to remains your head. Praise the Lord. Therefore, just write down these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, because it says, have you not read? So I'm telling you where you will read. Verse 22 to 24. Colossians chapter 3, also verse 18. Say, tells the women to obey their husbands, to be submissive, subjective, submit to your husbands in all things. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Submit so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. You are to be submissive to your husband as Sarah, calling Abraham Lord. Your husband remains your Lord. That is, he has the final say. He has the authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 also said, you, even when we are in church, you the women, you should learn with all subjection, with all subjection, with all subjection. And for the men, this is what he said, have you not read? I'm telling you where you should read now. In that same Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to verse 33, we are to love your wives as Christ also loved his church and gave himself for it until you are ready to die for your wife. That is how you should love her. And please, you are to leave your father and mother. Like Christ left his father in heaven and came to the earth. And one time, he left his mother and was in the temple. And the mother was saying, we are looking for you. He said, don't you know that I have to be my father's business? I have to obey the word of God. Praise the Lord. And learn and trust for each other. You don't command trust. You earn it. Earn it. Live your life in such a way that your wife will trust you. Don't answer phone calls in a way that your wife or your husband, your spouse will be suspecting you. Don't hide your phone from your spouse, from your wife, from your husband. And if you decide to be stubborn because your husband cannot put you away, the truth about it is that as you make your bed, that is how you will lie on it. It's a foolish woman that will use her hand and tear down her marriage. Praise the Lord. You will lose all the love of your husband and you will lose the benefit that's supposed to enjoy from that relationship. If you allow me to read something here, where he said, the stupid things a wife can do to mess up her marriage. So check these things out very well. One stupid thing you can do to mess up your marriage is daring your husband to beat you. Oh yeah, beat me. Oh yeah, beat me. I don't know which spirit is that. Then you go and block the door, the doorway, and then dare him to beat you and see what will happen. Lots of women have done this in the past and they end up regretting it. It is unwise to do this. Praise the Lord. Daring her husband to sleep with another woman. You'll be making a major mistake if you dare your husband to sleep with another woman. You may live to regret it. Neglecting to dress rightly because you are now married. I am married. Who is looking at me? That was the defense of one woman when she was confronted for the reason why she dressed so shabbily. It is the mistake of most careless married women, and it's a major mistake you can make. Again, denying your husband sex regularly. You're a career woman. You feel sex in marriage is secondary. You deny your husband your body regularly. So he's sexually starved and intimacy is famished. His secretary, colleagues, and girls in the church are begging him to come. But you padlock your skirt. I can see danger. Again, leaving your husband for your friend to cater for. My friend, please be my eye as I travel for this 1 week. Help cater for my husband and my little kids. That was another woman. When she made the journey, she will later regret all her life. By the time she came back, her friend had really helped her by sleeping with her husband. She later eloped with a man, leaving her own husband and 2 children. It is very stupid to commit your husband into the hands of your beautiful and very active but godless friend. Again, leaving your husband in the hand of her housemaid. Don't leave your husband in the hand of your housemaid. Your maid is the one that cooks, cleans the house, and cares for the children and your husband. You suddenly become a lazy bone since the arrival of the maid. All you do is to shout and bark orders. Nobody will snatch your husband. You are the one graciously giving him to those that need him. Again, employing fully grown and red-blooded lady as a maid. She's fully grown up and well endowed in the back and very tantalizing in the front. She dresses like an actress, catwalks like a model, and that is your own housemaid. Oh, what a mistake. Again, employing a house girl that is more beautiful than you. If you employ a house girl more beautiful than you, you are making a major technical mistake most women make. In the process, many of them use their money to employ a rival for themselves. Don't be foolish when getting a maid. Another one, using analog brain to live with a digital husband. Your husband is growing, you are sitting. You are sitting down at home eating. He's dressing like a guy with jeans and face cap. You are celebrating the fact that you are a married woman. Your husband is on Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, Skype, etc. The only thing you know about the phone is to receive and make a call. Your husband is talking about stock market. You only talk about tomato market. He's talking about forex. You are talking about fruit and vegetable. Okay, oh. What do we sit down with that Facebook and do? You are sitting down here. You must upgrade yourself. You cannot, you know, solve digital problem with analog solution. Failing to commit her family into the hands of God. You fail. You as a woman, you are not prayerful. A wife would do well if she fails to commit her family into the hands of God regularly. Regularly. Don't make this mistake. Be prayerful. Hand over your family to God. May you never labor in vain in the name of Jesus Christ. Then fighting her mother-in-law. Any woman that fight your mother-in-law, listen, you may fight your mother-in-law dirty and think you can win. You will end up losing. Her son and herself have been friends and lovers for years. Maybe before you were born, she was the first woman, wife of your husband, and also the first girlfriend. Her son cannot divorce her, and she is more experienced than you in matrimonial battles. In fact, she's a veteran of many conflicts from her past experience. Stop fighting your mother-in-law. Again, telling her friends about her sex life. Stop telling your friends about your sex life. When you tell your friends about your sex life, she can size you up and know whether your husband is hot or not, whether he's sexually fulfilled or not. She can even know your husband turn on and use it against him and grab your husband. Most women have carelessly lost their husband as a complaint to their friends. My husband is too demanding. He does not know anything but sex. I'm not a horse. I can't kill myself. A friend will pick information like this and cover things up where you have been failing. Another one, reporting her husband to the mother. It looks beautiful to report your husband to his mom, but the end result will end up hurting you. Most mothers will support their sons any day. Children are always right before their mothers. Seek counsel in the right quarters. Never report your husband to his mother. Also, letting children take the place of the husband. Don't do that. Many wives do abandon their husband, denying them of love, care, and attention as soon as babies begin to arrive. To sleep in bed, they put the baby between themselves and their husband, making the man to feel lost in his own house. Or they drive him away from the bedroom. And finally, using sex wrongly. Sex is supposed to bind you together. It's supposed to create intimacy and love. But in many homes, it is the bone of contention. So women do turn sex to a tool of manipulation. Some use it for trade by barter. If you want, this night, go and buy me shawarma. Some wives will suddenly become commanders at home when their husband touched them for sex, ordering the man around. Go and off the fan. Go and lock the gate. Go and check whether our children are sleeping. This is very bad. Some wives sleep like log of wood in bed, while some even wear jean knickers to bed. If you continue like this, you will hurt your marriage deeply and you may destroy your future also. And may God not let us use our hands to destroy our marriage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, we say, always remember the reason for submitting to that man and serving him. It is your own way of expressing appreciation. For you didn't go looking for him. He went looking for you. If not for that man, you will still be in your father's house now. So you shall appreciate him. Praise the Lord. As a roundup, a few problems that we have had to contend with. Let me just explain briefly so that it may help you who may not have the chance to ask a question today. About marriage restitution as taught by churches like Holiness Revival Church, Deeper Life, Choosing, Watchman, and their likes, who believe they are holiness churches. What they teach is that if you marry more than one wife before you come to Christ, when you now come to Christ, that is the first one that you married is the only one that is your wife. The other ones you have, you should put them away. They are not your wife. If not, you will not go to heaven. It is a wrong doctrine. The Bible came to the Gentiles in the estate that we are in. We were not under the law. We are product of grace and mercy. They met us as polygamous. And no law takes retrogressive effect. No law is backdated to when you were not under the law for an offense committed when there was no law. When there is no law, there is no offense. Therefore, what the Bible expects, that is why it is because of that estate that you have 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 12 concerning the office of a bishop. A bishop, a pastor, fivefold ministry. Ministers generally, he said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And also the deacons. The deacons, verse 12, it says that a deacon also, in verse 12, it says, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Why did he say so? Because sitting down there in the church, there will be people that will believe they have a calling. They want to serve God. But the law is, if you are going to lead in the church, and you already have more than one wife, you cannot be a minister in the church. Neither can you be a minister in the church. But the two of you, you and all your wives, all your children, you're under grace. You can all receive the Holy Ghost. And don't worry, there'll be no confusion, because in heaven, there is no marriage. It ends here. And that law is a wicked law. That doctrine is a wicked doctrine. It's not a doctrine that goes with revelation. Don't help God when it comes to holiness. There are some people that take this thing so far until even the communion wine, they will not allow alcohol, because we are Christian, we don't drink wine, don't drink alcohol. You are taking it. Don't be holier than God himself. Don't be holier than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gave us the ordinance. What is it that interests about the wine? It's the alcohol. The alcohol there, everything about communion must have something to do with the body of Jesus Christ. The bread is not ordinary bread. It is unleavened bread. The wine there has a preservative. The blood of Jesus Christ preserves us. Has a preservative. The difference between the blood of Jesus and the blood of an animal is that it has a life in it. That life preserves us until the day of redemption. As alcohol preserves that wine, it's a preservative. That is why it must have some little percentage of alcohol in the wine. And don't say you are so holy. Hey, I don't touch wine. I don't touch wine. You are on your own. You are not doing communion. And let me quickly also add this for communion. This opportunity. That they are saying that because we hold communion at the early hours, sometimes 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and they are saying that it is at the going down of the sun. No, it was at night. And please, we are not breaking scripture. And you don't even have to be legalistic about the timing. Because now we are connected around the whole world. While we are taking communion here, it's night. It is already daytime. So we are in Japan. So we are in Asia. Our timing is not all the same. It is more important to eat is the constitution of that bread and the wine. Because he said, as often as you take it. So you can choose what day. If you like, do it every day. If you like, do it two times a day. If you like, do it once in a year. If you like, do it once in a month. It's as often as you do it. What are you doing? You are remembering what the Lord did on the cross on Calvary. That's what we are celebrating. But it is supper. Yes. So if you want to go and take it supper, please. The Jewish day starts from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The night starts from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. So if we take communion 3 a.m., we are still taking it in the night. So we have not broken scripture. Praise the Lord. Okay, so therefore, Don't let anybody make you drive away your wife because she's the second wife you married as an unbeliever. They are all your wives. If you drive her away, what of the children she gave you? And you talk of restitution, it's righting a wrong. You don't restitute a human being like that because you cannot return her to the estate that you met her. For her own husband to see her and marry her, you have finished that woman. Then you are saying it's not your wife. You have depreciated her, devalued her, reshaped her, deshaped her. Everything standing has fallen. Then you say, go. It doesn't belong to me. It's not my wife. Whose wife? She's your wife, oh. The only thing is that you cannot be a minister and you cannot be a deacon in the church. That is what the Bible teaches. And let me quickly correct another one. Some people say because of the scripture that every deacon must be married and every pastor must be married. No, Apostle Paul was not married. And don't tell me, no, Apostle Paul had a peculiar ministry. What are you saying? Amen. He was setting the standard for us. Apostle Paul was not married. And there's no record that Timothy was married. Nor Titus was married. I didn't see where they were married. And they all went to pastor churches. And if Pastor Timothy is single, pastor and deacon, which office is higher? And which one carries higher responsibility? So therefore, that is not the meaning. A single brother that is filled with the Holy Ghost, that is qualified as a Christian, can be a deacon. That is not the meaning. Don't stop. Don't insist that they must be married before you can become deacon. Also, can I use the opportunity to correct some enter message people that teach ministers that interracial marriage is wrong. Interracial marriage is not wrong. Praise the Lord. White man can marry black woman. Black man can marry black woman. Black woman can marry white man. And their children will not be hybrid. Listen, Acts chapter 17. Let's read from verse 25 so we get the full picture. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and bread and all things. That is our God. And that God has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation. What did he do? He made of one blood, verse 26, of one blood, all nations of men. So every human being is from that one blood of Adam. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Even after the world was wiped off, we are all from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So we are related. Whether you are American or you are African. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Therefore, there is nothing like Osu. In Christ, no slave. No Osu. Igbo people, no Osu. Praise the Lord. So that teaching that a black man, marry black, white, marry white, even though you produce, then you tell me whether that hybrid cannot reproduce itself. A hybrid is something that cannot reproduce itself. We call them here mulattoes. They're even more fertile than you. So don't. And William Branham said that it is what you eat that determines the color of your skin and your location. where we are located, this kind of sun that is hitting us here every time, we turn black. Let me correct another one again. Family planning. You say, can a couple do family planning? Can we do family planning? It is the purpose that God, the motive that God judges. For health reasons, you can decide to stop reproduction by some family planning contraceptives or whatever it is. So, on the advice, medical advice, you can have family planning. And please, I'm also aware that we must be very realistic that for economic reasons too, the two of you, husband and a wife, can come together and say, let's take this thing easy. Let's take this thing easy. Like one of our brothers in this church, in 2 years, he has 3 children. You see, it's they can decide to have meetings, say, it don't do, when they consider school fees and the rest. Okay. Praise the Lord. And so again, take note. The Bible tells us that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You must marry only in the faith. You must marry only in the faith. If you go and marry an unbeliever, then something is wrong with you, because you know you are risking your faith. Praise the Lord. And even when we talk about divorce and you catch somebody in fornication and all that we talk about, there is no sin that is not forgivable. That's right. Jesus didn't say, he said, you may not put away your wife for any reason except for fornication. He didn't say, you must put her away. No. You can forgive. Where there is love, for love covereth a multitude of sin. If you truly love her and she shows remorse, you truly love him and he shows remorse, then you can forgive. Adam forgave Eve. He forgave Eve. And in the beginning, that is how it was. Let's go back to the beginning. Finally, praise the Lord. If for any reason now you are listening to me, and the excitement of your marriage has gone down. Christ went to a program, a wedding, and the wine was finished. They went to him to get new wine. The excitement of your marriage is over. Go to the Lord again in prayers, and he will restore it. And you will soon notice, if you will follow what I'm telling you very seriously and practice it, you will notice that you will enjoy your marriage now better than when you first met and started. Praise the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, if you read it from verse 20, from 19 up to verse 22, Elisha had the land, they came to him crying to him that the land had a problem. Hallelujah. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation in this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. Verse 20. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. Verse 21. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus said the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Verse 22. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And let me tell you why I quote this scripture. Amen. This sermon I'm preaching today came about because of the condition of believers from all around the world. They were living in different estates. Estate confusion in marriage, Christian marriage. Every Every church has her own interpretation of how it should be. Amen. And God particularly sent his servant William Marion Branham, a prophet, I believe he's the prophet to this age, to make a pronouncement and solve this matter once and for all. And he made that pronouncement. You can go get that message he preached on marriage and divorce. And made that pronouncement by the authority of his ministry. I said, whichever estate you are in your marriage, remain like that. Don't add anymore. Don't separate. Remain in the estate that you are in. It was a general pardon. And by this, the land is healed. Praise the Lord. Marriages are healed. We now have a bearing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. All the questions concerning marriage and divorce, God used William Branham and solved them. And that is what I am also re-echoing today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And a lot of people took that same sermon William Branham preached and began to teach that William Branham permitted polygamy. No. They are just agents of Satan to create further confusion. William Branham did not teach polygamy. He particularly stated that it is wrong for a Christian to marry more than one wife. Now that you have known the truth, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so those of you who are in whatever state of confusion, I want to believe the much I have spoken today, I hope I'm able to answer some of your questions and give you a good bearing. And so Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 6. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Let no man teach otherwise. Let no man put asunder. Shalom. Shalom.